Time for another episode of Survival Stuff with Indiana Jim. Indiana Jim, because Indiana Jones was taken. My name is James C. Jones. I also thought that James C. Jones is a little bit pretentious for an informal kind of program. So I'm going to call myself Indiana Jim for this thing that we're doing here. I am the founder of Live Free USA. I'm the author of several books by Skyhorse Publishing, including Advanced Survival, Total Survival, 150 Survival Secrets, and most recently, the ultimate book of survival gear, which we're going to be talking about some gear. Now, sometimes when we talk about survival stuff, it's actually going to be more mental stuff or skill stuff, but for at least this several episodes, we're actually going to talk about stuff, in other words, items and pieces of gear and equipment. Shortly after I wrote the book, or actually while I was working on the book, I also wrote an article for Live Free's newsletter, which is American Survivor. And when I wrote that article, I entitled it Best in Class Survival Gear. And we're going to talk about best in class. Now, in the book, there's 32 classes of gear that I talk about, and items and supplies. The article covered just a handful of things that were really critical and that I could really identify, yes, this is the best item in this class. So we're going to talk about that in a little more detail in a couple of minutes. I did want to introduce you to Live Free USA. Our mission is to advance survival education and family preparedness and general self-reliance. So we were organized in 1968, so we are the oldest survival organization in the country by far. We've been doing all kinds of events. We have chapters. Membership is $20 or $50 for 3 years, and included in that is a subscription to the newsletter. In fact, if you subscribe online, you can actually download like 70 copies of this newsletter if you want. We will also mail you every other month. We'll mail you the latest newsletter, and that's at the Live Free USA website, which is at AmericanSurvivor.org. Because the internet hadn't been developed back when we started out. So Live Free is sort of a ubiquitous common name. It's all misused and misunderstood. So we decided to call our website is actually AmericanSurvivor.org. You can even email me if you'd like me to do a particular subject or have a question at SurvivorJJ@AOL.com. So with that, we'll get into the subject now. The subject today, the subject for this episode at least, is respirators. Now, respirators is usually a totally overlooked subject in survival books and survival classes because everything, oh, I got to rub two sticks together, I got to make a fire, I got to build a lean-to shelter, I got to purify water somehow. And somehow in all of that, clean air was left off of the agenda, and that's a shame. In all my books, I cover respiratory protection because we need respiratory protection in a whole lot of survival scenarios. Even in the outdoors, for instance, a respirator will recycle your warm air and prevent hypothermia. So I even put it in your outdoor survival kits. Because your lung area is a surface area, I'll mention this again probably, your lung surface area is, when spread out, believe it or not, is almost the size of a football field. So you're sucking in all this cold air, it's going over all that surface, taking warmth out of the body, and then there it goes, and you suck in some more cold air. If you can prevent any of that, so I even found on survival kit, military survival kit, and it had a respirator in there, pretty much like an N95 like this one is, that was part of that winter survival gear. So even for your outdoor survival kits, respiratory protection is important. But boy, did respiratory protection suddenly become a key subject in the last couple of years with the epidemic or pandemic that developed. So I have a certificate in respiratory protection from OSHA. I'm an EMT. I was the safety manager at a big chemical factory. Get the picture here. I train people in self-contained breathing apparatus. I specified what respirators were needed for what kind of things and trained people how to use respirators. So I don't like to use the expert word, but I think they said expert is a drip under pressure. Well, maybe I am. I don't know. But anyhow, expert, I'm pretty close to an expert. And boy, when this epidemic broke out, there was all kinds of people talking about, oh, you got to wear this. This doesn't work. You need to wear that. Maybe you can use this. And had no training or knowledge whatsoever. But since most people had never read one of my books about specifying respiratory protection, they were lost. So they just, you know, if six people walk in a room and five people say they don't know what to do, and one of them says, let's turn around six times and yell at the moon, that'll solve the problem, then that's what everybody will do, because people want an answer. So there were a lot of answers out there that didn't make any sense at all regarding respiratory protection, the need for it, or what worked or what didn't work. So best in class, in my books and in my article, simple as this, N95, this is a respirator. Just to be clear, this is a mask, this is a respirator, okay? This is certified by NIOSH, the National Institute of Safety and Health, and OSHA, and a number of other agencies. It has been tested and proven to stop 95% of dust, mists, and particulates that are coming in. And of course, the first argument we heard was, yes, well, but pathogens, they're much smaller. They'll go right through the mask. No, they won't, because they stuck to mist. They're stuck to dust particles and particles, so they can't get through. And if you don't believe these work, well, then all the Chinese and all the people in China, when the SARS epidemic broke out, all the other epidemics broke out, they must have been crazy, because they all wore these. Okay. The medical profession, I guess they don't know what they're doing because they all wear these. Okay, point is, N95s or equivalent is the best respirator, no doubt about it. There's a box of them right there. I had two boxes of these when the pandemic started. I still have several left because my wife and I wore them. But the other thing was, it was all about, UV, we gotta UV lights, we gotta do all this kind of. What we did is we hung these things out in the sun for 8 hours, for the whole day. Just hung them out in the sun. The UV kills all the pathogens, all the viruses on the mask, and we put it on the next day. So we wore them until usually the strap broke or they wore out. We also could wash them. This is stuff that we know worked, okay? N95 respirator, best in class. You want to go out right now after the pandemic, they'll probably be on the market again, and buy yourself a couple more boxes. I'm going to do that. I had them all ready. My wife says, why isn't anybody wearing N95 masks? I said, they don't have them. They can't get them. The government sort of lied to you early on. They said, we don't know if they'll work or not. You can just get a cloth mask or whatever. They wanted to make sure that the medical professionals had enough of these. And the first responders, they didn't want to run on them, a panic run for the average person. Of course, we're not the average person. We're preppers, we're survivalists, we're self-reliance practitioners, whatever you want to call it. We had these, okay? And if you didn't and you were too embarrassed, then you believed that they didn't work, but that you just screwed up. I'm sorry. End of discussion. You need to have these, okay? Now, you can also get these in... sometimes you can get them which are charcoal impregnated. This has limited protection against chemicals, okay? These have no protection against chemicals. They have no protection against carbon monoxide or anything like that. But if they're properly fitted according to the instructions on the box, and they have to be properly fitted, by the way. The air, if you don't fit these properly, I've seen people with one strap hanging down, one strap up this way. After the one strap goes over your ear, the other strap goes around your neck, and then you fit the nose piece. If you don't, the air's not going to go through here if it can go around. Okay, so you're just fooling yourself. So they had to be properly fit. But they won't protect you against carbon monoxide the predictor against particulates, the predictor against pathogens, the predictor against dust and mist and all that kind of stuff. And even in chemicals, they're better than nothing. I call BTN, they're better than nothing, but for everything else, they're great. So, but you can also get them with limited chemical protection in case you're worried about that. This one's even got a good fitting seal here. It has a speaking thing so you could talk and breathe out, exhale out. But it's a little more expensive. The box of these was about $20, and maybe higher now. But nevertheless, $20 for about a dollar a piece is what they cost. But you can also get these with the charcoal impregnated if you're worried about, you know, poison chemicals. You can also get them flat. They don't fit as well, but you can, like, this is from AO Safety Company. You'll find these. Norton makes them. This is a medium size. This is a flat fold, but it's an N95, so it's certified. So it is still kind of a respirator. By the way, also, when you have these, if you're keeping them in your pocket, you're keeping them in your pack, fold them up, keep them in a plastic bag. Because otherwise, this thing's out, and there's stuff floating around, and it gets in here, and then you put it on, and you took that big breath of the pathogen or the poison, whatever it was that was in here. So you want to keep them sealed and clean in between. Okay, now you're only talking about gas masks. I actually saw people wearing these when the epidemic started. Told me how ignorant people were about what they needed to do. This is a chemical, half-face chemical mask. It's got filters. It also has, it does have dust filters, but it also has a chemical filter. It's just way more than you need, and you're not going to wear it very often. You can't, you know, can you see yourself wearing this to the grocery store every day and wearing it, walking down the street? Of course not. And everybody said, well, that's what I need. No, this isn't what you need at all. This is made for people that work in the chemical industry. You have to have the exact right filter for the potential chemical that you're exposed to. Now, if you live downwind of a chemical plant, maybe this might be worth investing in, although I've seen two big chemical plant fires in the last 6 weeks, and they evacuated the area, but in no case did people have or need to have one of these masks, okay? Because they basically just evacuated the area. This is for people who need to work and stay in a chemical environment. Chemical attack, again, is most a local area only, or a chemical accident. It's a local area. You get out of the downwind track of that, and you're fine. So you really don't need these. Again, you need lots of N95s. We'll do fine. You're certain, even though the classic image of a survivalist is somebody wearing a gas mask, one of these big military gas masks. And these things are out there for anywhere from $20 to $50. They're big, heavy, clunky things. You got to learn to fit them properly. You got to practice donning them properly. The filters are usually good against most chemical, military chemicals, but they still may not be good against all the chemicals. They'll certainly stop COVID-19 or anything else that's out there. But really, again, you don't really need this. You don't need something this clunky. If you do have lived downwind of a chemical plant, you might want to look up, invest from J.J. Keller, a copy of the Emergency Response Guidebook. Every fire engine, and all response people always have these, because it tells them every single thing they need to know about once they get the number off that chemical, the UN number off the chemical, or the name. They can look up, and it'll tell you exactly what you need to do to protect yourself, first aid, fight a fire, respiratory protection, everything you need to know. And yeah, you might, you know, if you've got a chemical plant two blocks away, yeah, you know, especially upwind, downwind, yeah, you might want to know more about those chemicals. But otherwise, you don't really need a gas mask. But these protect you against all kinds of things that are out there, including, like I said, very cold air, dust. We've seen these buildings coming down. We've seen these explosions. 9/11, we saw all these people with this big cloud of dust. Yes, again, this is something you need. You don't want to, you know, be breathing in the kind of toxic materials that are all in these dust clouds, and it happens. Tornadoes carry a lot of stuff. So for all kinds of emergency responses, this is something that you want to have. Now, I've mentioned this is a respirator and this is a mask. So what's the difference? Well, this is a pretty good mask. A mask, some of the statistics show that this is 60% protection. And if it's worn properly, definitely, if this is all you can get, put it on. Better than nothing is always better than nothing. This is about supposedly, especially they have, some of them have a pocket where you can actually put a little filter in here. They're about 60% effective. And when you're talking about something like COVID-19, which was, even now we're learning that even if you had it and it went away, 2 months later, 6 months later, a year later, you're having, your kidneys are failing, your thyroid problems, your heart problems, even brain problems, all kinds of things. You did not want to get COVID-19. It just wasn't what you wanted to get. I don't understand why anybody would take any kind of risk. This is pretty good, but it's a mask. It's not a respirator. I recommend everybody have bandanas. I carry one, preferably two. It's old school, old fashioned, but even this was better than nothing, and you can have it with you. By the way, this would also be a tourniquet, a bandage, a couple of other things that you can use this for, even a water filter to some extent. Bandanas, I always carry one. A lot of people were wearing these. This is a surgical mask, okay? This mask is designed to keep my pathogens that I'm breathing out from going into the patient, who, if I'm a surgeon, the patient is open, and you don't want my pathogens going in there. It is not designed to protect the surgeon from the patient. Okay, we're in a sterile room, in a sterile environment. The patient's unconscious, probably got a respirator on. So why am I wearing this? I'm wearing this so that my respirations and the pathogens carried in my respirations won't go into the patient and start an infection. It's really not designed to protect you from what's outside. It's better than nothing, okay? It's better than nothing. Now, I also heard people say, well, you wear that, blah, 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 you can still get infected through your eyes. Well, that's true. As an EMT, we usually wear safety glasses or goggles and this, but we're right up close to the patient, and the patient is obviously already sick, may have any number of pathogens, and if they cough or spit or yell, we can get that, and then we might get it in our eyes. Now, eyes are, a couple square inches of space? A couple square inches of space. Yes, you might get it there, and you might get an infection. There might be some pathogens there to take. But, as I mentioned earlier, when you breathe in, you're breathing air in that's going over a surface area the size of a football field. Now, if there's any pathogens in there, they're going to find somewhere to anchor, okay? And then you're breathing that out, and you're breathing another batch of air in over that size of a football field. So the chances of getting it through your eyes is 100 times less than the chances of you getting it through respirations. The bottom line here is don't breathe nothing bad, okay? Don't breathe any dusts, don't breathe any toxins, don't breathe any toxic vapors, don't breathe in any pathogens or, viruses whatsoever. Don't breathe in any really cold air if you can avoid it. N95 respirators. So simple as that, nothing complicated, best in class N95 respirators. Stock up on them because, whether you realize it or not, mathematically, the chances of another epidemic, which, by the way, again, in my books and my articles, I said, all the scientists said it was inevitable there would be a pandemic. And everybody's, we're going to build a fire in the woods, we're going to have a nuclear war, we're going to run out with our backpacks and all that. And I'm like, way more chance there's be a pandemic. You got all these people, huge overpopulation in the world, people traveling all over the place, people probably experimenting in labs with things they shouldn't be experimenting with, new diseases popping up from interfaces with animals, all kinds of things going on. And now those are going to go boom, boom, boom to all these people, and these people are going to travel all over the world, and all you got to have is one that, like COVID, that doesn't show up for 2 or 3 weeks after people have spread it, and you're going to have a pandemic. Of course, since you had one pandemic, what are the chances they're going to have another one the next year? Exactly the same as they were the year before. It's just like the lottery where, you know, you certain number wins and the chances of that same number coming up the next day are exactly the same as they were the day before. Okay, so the chances of another pandemic, we should have just learned that, is that, you know, we want to think otherwise. We want to think, no, it can't happen again. But in reality, it's just as likely to happen again. We just proved that it can happen. So, and there's all kinds of other bad things happening. Oh, by the way, including, we talked about nuclear war, this will also filter out all radioactive particles. You don't want to breathe in fallout dust, even from a dirty bomb or anything like that. Again, thing works for that too. So, anyhow, yes, you want to stock up on these and prepare for the next pandemic. And now I think I've sold these to everybody that this is something you need to have. They work. They work well. My wife and I wore them all through the pandemic. We wore them carefully. We went everywhere we wanted to go. We didn't stay home very much. We went where we wanted to go. And we didn't catch it for a whole period. And most people shouldn't have caught it either. We have some people that they wore it. They did, you know, and they were very careful for a while. And then they went to a party for their kids or something else. They took it off. Next day, they had COVID. So again, respiratory protection, N95 respirators are your best protection. Masks are okay though. Anything is better than nothing. So so until next time, this is Indiana Jim for Life and Freedom, signing off. Stay safe.